Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp, getting their firsthand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, so you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Authority feed, the exclusive home of the super short run, super niche, and super essential podcast for the month of August. And we are back. The calendar days keep turning over, and you keep refreshing your podcast feed, and bingo bongo, there's a new episode of this little podcast that could, and today is no different. It's exciting. I mean, we're gearing up for our first, I would say this is like the first big draft weekend coming up, the weekend after that one, probably the biggest draft weekend of the year. We'll be rocking and rolling all the way up until that, and after, all August, we're here. A crucial one today, because you're going to have a lot of these guys on your team. I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I didn't dial up just anybody for this one. I dialed up Greg Aumann. He writes about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic. And if you play fantasy football, you know exactly who Greg is. He is the man in Tampa to get the real deal on what is going on with this team. Again, find him at Greg Aumann. He's about to deliver the definitive guide to the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What are we waiting for? Let's bring them on. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Aumann.
Hello.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me once again.
No problem.
All right, Greg, us fantasy gamers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are obviously at the top of our list as a team to invest in. This offense has been great since the arrival of Brady. Last year, they were second in the league in total points, second in yards. They ran the third most plays. It was high octane, high productive. But where it gets a little tricky is the split between in the run and the pass. Kind of staggering. They were the top team in pass attempts and 31st in rush attempts. The split was real. When you have the GOAT, it's easy to let it rip through the air. But it's a new year. So, Greg, from what you've seen and heard in camp, what can we expect from this offense in 2022? More of a regression to the mean in those categories, or is it going to be, you know, same?
Yeah, every year I keep thinking they're going to take it easy on Tom Brady's arm at 45 years old and run the ball more. But as you see, they've added Russell Gage and Julio Jones and Kyle Rudolph and all the more weapons to throw to. I think it's in their best interest to not have, you know, 40 passes a game like they had last year. But, you know, it's one of those where if they're ahead in games more, they think they'll run more. But they've got a lot of games this year that I think are still going to be tight games. So I think you'll still see a ton of throws. And honestly, probably more of the split you saw last year.
Great. Now, Brady obviously is not someone I want to spend a ton of time on. He's away from the team now, but I think we'll all, you know, everyone seems to expect him back for week one. And if he's in, he's going to play well. But I do wonder, you know, from what you've seen in camp, how big is the drop off from Brady to the guys behind him with Blaine Gabbert and Trask? You know, if he should miss some time during the season for whatever reason, how will that affect this offense and our lineups?
No, I mean, that's a huge drop-off. Brady to anybody is going to be a drop-off. And, I mean, Blaine Gabbert hasn't started a game in 4 years and just isn't the quarterback that Brady is. That's not really any revelation there. So I still think he's got a lot of talented guys to throw to. So, I mean, if you had, like, a full season of Gabbert, it's probably, you know, 3,000 yards instead of 4,000 yards. And it's probably, you know, high 20s in touchdowns instead of 40s in touchdowns. They can still be a good offense, but just not nearly as good. So in that the hypothetical, it would definitely be a pronounced drop off, whether it's, you know, Gabbard or Trask, that they got to step in there.
What do you think of Trask so far? How is he developing in your eyes?
I think he helped himself Saturday. He's only really had these preseason games to show what he can do. And last year was kind of a blur because it's, you know, early in his rookie year. But Saturday, I mean, obviously had two turnovers that weren't entirely his fault, but threw for 258 yards, which was the most of anybody in the NFL. I think he had 11 different players with passes, you know, had a nice drive at the end there where they, you know, they got the ball at their own 11, needed a field goal to win. And he got them there. They didn't make the kick, but I mean, he kind of did what he needed to do to set the team up to win. So I think you'll see more of him in these next two preseason games, but again, not necessarily a whole lot of him after that. So it's kind of his chance in the next 2 weeks to show them where he's come in the last year and how seriously they would have to look at outside options if Brady's gone after this year.
Some positive Trask stuff. I think the Dynasty gamers love that. All right, Greg, let's talk about the guys in the wide receiver room next. Mike Evans is a perennial fantasy stud with health. The only question for him, and he's already popped up with some hamstring issues. Chris Godwin is coming back from an ACL tear, but he seems to be making a pretty speedier, you know, than normal recovery than I think it was expected. Russell Gage is a huge signing, and he's got a huge buzz in these fantasy streets as a guy who could soak up a lot of targets from Brady. In comes Julio Jones. My head is spinning. Signing that everyone has got a lot of people excited about. You know, what's camp been like for these wide receivers, and how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you know, embarrassment of riches type situations. I mean, to have four receivers like that, rookie running back, rookie tight end, they've added 6-7 pieces to what was already pretty prolific offense. So no, the question is just how they divvy things up, who gets the touchdowns. You know, Mike Evans has been remarkably consistent, getting to 1,000 yards every year of his career. It's probably a little hard to do that this year, just because, like you said, if Godwin's healthy, you know, he had more targets than Evans did last year before he got hurt. And you add potentially a healthy Julio Jones, he's going to get a lot of stuff going his way. Russell Gage, like you said, they were really high on him before they signed Julio. I mean, you got $10 million a year to be a number three here. So the main thing is figuring out where the touchdowns will go. That probably starts with Mike Evans, just because there's such a bond in the red zone, kind of that high fade in the corner of the end zone. I think they'll continue to go to a lot. So I still think of Evans as the best play on this. But as you said, there's some value. If you can figure out which out of Jones and Gage is more likely to get touchdowns, there's definitely a steal to be found between one of those two.
Brady stepped away from the team. Did they have any practices, Julio and Brady?
Two weeks. Yeah, full 2 weeks. I mean, Julio remarkably has been healthy. I mean, they've held him out with a couple of veteran days. But no, I mean, they had 2 weeks together. I think the whole intention for Brady was to have 2 weeks to kind of build some chemistry with these guys and build a rhythm with the receivers, especially the new guys, and then to step away for whatever it is, 10 days, and then he'll be back and we'll have another 3 weeks before the opener on September 11th.
Did you see that chemistry with Gage and Julio so far?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they both looked apart. I mean, Todd Bowles was saying the first week of camp that they couldn't defend Russell Gage. I mean, as a guy coming out of the slot, really shifty, can do a lot of different things with routes to get open in the short field and then make plays in the long field. And then Julio, I mean, the main question mark with Julio has been his health, you know, not really even able to practice much in Tennessee last year, but he's very consistently been out there and has looked the part. I mean, it's one of those where obviously at any point, you know, that hamstring can act up, but right now he's been healthy. And I think that helps a lot, just because you want to get those reps to learn the offense on the field as opposed to sitting and reading a playbook.
Where we need some help, Greg, is the running back room. Fournette seems to be the guy. His weight, you know, has been a hot topic of discussion in the offseason and into camp. He did smash last year with 10 touchdowns and grabbed an eye-popping 69 catches. Rookie Rashad White, though, he's a buzzy name in the fantasy community. Geo played ahead of him, though, this weekend, and he split carries with Keyshawn Vaughn. How is camp for the running backs? Is that weight down for Lenny? Are we putting that aside, that narrative, to bed in the grave? And what's a realistic expectation for White this year?
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Fournette's weight was kind of a story in June. Looked fine when he came back to camp, has been fine, hasn't had days off, hasn't really looked slow or anything like that. Geo went first Saturday, but I think that's more just kind of yielding to veteran. Rashad White definitely looked the best. I was looking at first down runs, and Bernard and Vaughn and Kenyon Barner had 14, I think, and they totaled 14 yards. None of them were longer than 4 yards. And Rashad White had 5 runs, all of them 4 yards or longer, got 30 yards out of that. So just had a little bit more burst. Looked the part. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be able to catch passes, is a patient runner, was hitting holes, and I think you'll see more of him in the next two. But, I mean, he's got a really good situation where it wouldn't take much, as long as he's solid in pass protection, for him to step in and be the number two back and be a guy that's, you know, pushing Leonard Fournette for drives. I mean, I think Fournette's absolutely the main guy and a three down back. But I do think White probably in a position where they like his upside enough where he'd be the guy that comes in to take a series when they need it. They had kind of used Gio Bernard in that hurry up path catching role. But, you know, White has a lot more to offer that way. Whereas a number two running back, I think he's got a bright future. And I mean, Fournette's going to be the guy that gets the lion's share of you know, carries and reps and touches and series. But I think White's probably next out of the four.
And the coaches seem to like White.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, every day they've raved about him. I mean, I think, like I said, the one question mark that he didn't really get a chance to do very much of in college was pass protection. But seemed to handle that well Saturday. They haven't really complained about that. Caught a ton of passes. I mean, that's the main thing you want in this offense is to be able to stay on the field on third down and be able to catch passes out of the backfield. Like you said, you know, Fournette did that a ton, kind of at Bernard's expense last year. But I also think there will be an effort to not overwork Fournette. If you look at last year, got hurt at the end of the season, missed the end of the regular season, missed a playoff game with a hamstring injury. So I don't think they want to use him so much that he's at risk of not being there when they need him in the playoffs.
Well, we're walking away with some positive Rashad White talk here, and I think that's music to a lot of gamers' ears. Let's round to the finish in the tight end room. Gronk is gone, and now it's a mixed bag of guys with veterans Cameron Brate and Kyle Rudolph. Kate Otten is there. You know, is there going to be a fantasy viable tight end? You know, Brady, he does throw to his tight end some. So what's going on with this group?
Yeah, I don't see it as being like a humongous yardage group, and that's probably where Gronk missed the most. But in red zone, I mean, Kyle Rudolph is a solid red zone tight end. Cam Brate's like third in Bucs history in touchdowns. Has 33 touchdowns in his career. So, I mean, that's where those two come in the most. I think if you see, you know, where this offense is going to be toughest is there in the red zone, where if they go three wide with Evans, Godwin, and Julio Jones, there's going to be, you know, guys underneath. There's going to be whoever the fourth and fifth option they are not getting good defenders on them or much of the attention of the defense. So I think, not probably more than a 5 or 6 touchdown year, but I think Rudolph and Brate are both in line for that. Otten, it's so hard to know with young tight ends because it's a really tough position to get in and play a ton, but he's looked good. He had one day in camp where he had 3 touchdowns in one day. As he gets bigger and stronger, I think he'll be a great tight end for them. I just don't know how much they'll lean on him as a rookie this year.
Greg, I have one last question, but it's a bit of a toughie. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Bucs in 2022?
Boldest? You know, so many of these guys are kind of known commodity, but no, I mean, I think you can get Rashad White late. That's a good value. You can get Gage late. That's a good value. There's not a whole lot of steals when you get Tom Brady throwing the football. And anybody whose name is outside the ones we talked about would really be a surprise if they're relevant. I mean, Tyler Johnson's probably the fifth receiver here. If there were an injury, again, if Evans or Godwin got hurt or something, then you have a guy like Tyler Johnson that would step up and get a lot more looks. But for now, I think it's the big names and just the value where you find it. Again, if you can get Rashad White late in this draft as a backup running back, as a fourth running back on your team or something like that, there's definitely some upside to what he could do.
Greg, thank you so much once again. You can find him at Greg Allman on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. And if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, I really don't know what you're doing at this point. What else you got, Greg? Anything else you want to promote?
No, just, I mean, regular getting ready for the season here. The Bucs are in Nashville on Wednesday and Thursday for joint practices. So I'll be up there. And then, you know, preseason before you know it, I mean, final cuts are 2 weeks from tomorrow. So, I mean, before you know it, these 90-player roster is going to be 53. So just looking at a lot of the matchups and the decisions they have to make. We talked a lot about receiver. I mean, that's going to be tough. There's going to be guys that get cut by this team that will be playing for other NFL teams this year. So they have to figure out, you know, the best way to find the right combination there.
Thank you so much once again, and have a great season, Greg.
All right. Thanks again for having me. You take care.
Rashad White, it's happening, baby. You are now dialed in.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.